Please take your Bibles and turn with me once again to Joshua chapter 10 and continuing the reading which we began just a few moments ago. Joshua chapter 10, beginning now with verse 16. Now these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in the cave at Makkedah. It was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah." Joshua said, "Roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and assign men by it to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies and attack them in the rear. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand." It came about when Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished slaying them with a very great slaughter, until they were destroyed and the survivors who remained of them had entered the fortified cities, that all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one uttered a word against any of the sons of Israel. Then Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring these five kings out to me from the cave." They did so and brought these five kings out to him from the cave: the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. When they brought these kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, "Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came near and put their feet on their necks. Joshua then said to them, "Do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight." So afterward Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees, and they hung on the trees until evening. It came about at sunset that Joshua gave command, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and put large stones over the mouth of the cave to this very day. Now Joshua captured Makkedah on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. He left no survivor. Thus he did to the king of Makkedah, just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Not sure if you caught it, but we had this week a leap second. Perhaps you still need to adjust your clock. But on Tuesday at midnight, June the 30th, scientists around the world added a leap second to clocks as they claimed the Earth's rotation had slowed. Well, I wonder if it isn't the scientists who are slow and that God continues to spin this world in just perfect order. But whatever the case might be, it made the news. And you may have caught it on the radio or through some other means as I did. Well, here we have told us in Joshua chapter 10 of a day like no other. A day when God listened to the voice of a man, as he listened to Joshua as he pleaded, "Sun, stand still, and moon, hold it right there." Verse 13 of chapter 10. Verse 14 says, "There was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." We come once again to an account of God working out his plan, of God fulfilling his promise. Now, why do we belabor this point? We've been to Jericho and we've been to Ai that second time when there was victory after the defeat. Why do we need to belabor the point? We understand that the Israelites were moving into the land of promise and they were taking possession. Let's fast forward and forget about this, but as we do that, we miss a key point that the Scripture is endeavoring to make to us. The point is that God is indeed fulfilling His Word. And the repetition which we find as we go from place to place, we find here in this repetition an emphasis, an underlining, a highlighting, an italicizing, a bolding of the print that God is doing exactly what God said he would do hundreds of years before. And though the promise was slow in coming, yet come it most certainly did. And come in the midst of setbacks, and come in the midst of times when the people did not attend to God's word as they should have. The account of Joshua chapter 10 is that there are five kings, not one, five kings who have now banded themselves together. They see the threat that the Israelites under Joshua's leadership is to their livelihood and to them continuing to be where they are. They band together. They are scared because Gibeon, it's underscored, was a great city. And what they did in making peace with the Israelites unnerved these five kings. Well, the five, not powerful enough, they felt, in themselves to deal with Gibeon. They band together, they link arms, they come, and they attack Gibeon, and they place it under siege. Gibeon, the covenant that they had made with the Israelites was such that they could call upon Joshua, and Joshua, he sees that the contract is binding. He doesn't say, well, you know, good riddance. I didn't like you anyway. You were kind of smelly, and maybe we can get rid of you in this way. Joshua, he keeps to his word, as do the Israelites, and they march to Gibeon, and they save the Gibeonites from certain defeat, from certain annihilation. Joshua, he comes, and he sees that God is doing a great work. Now, we know about the marathons that take place, 26 some miles. But do you know the true story of Marathon? It was of warriors who had fought one battle and then were called to then following the battle in the weakness of the moment after being utterly exhausted. They then run together as a company 26 miles and fight a second battle and win. So lest any athletes today get kind of blown out of water about how great they are for running marathons, we tip our hat to those Greeks of so many years ago who fought, who ran, who fought again. But in like manner, here Joshua, verse 8 we read, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. Well, what was the strength that was in the men that day? They had marched all night. They had spent themselves a sleepless night. And then they were to fight. And a long day it most certainly was, an extraordinarily long day. It was God fighting through them. God doing a great work through them to accomplish his purposes. God fighting on their behalf. But here God says, do not fear them. Verse 8. Why would they fear? They had been victorious over kings such as Eglon. They had been victorious at the great walls of Jericho. They had been victorious at Ai. The devil is always wanting to inject fear and terror and dismay and to discourage every heart that he can possibly get a hold of. I've learned that lest we think, well, we can rest on our laurels, the devil is ever wanting to come to us and say, hey, this is a different scenario. This is a different situation. These people needed to hear from God once again. Fear not. Be not dismayed. And there is a truth to it that every situation is different, and we need to rely upon God in prayer and draw strongly upon His strength. So God speaks to Joshua, and Joshua to the men, "Do not fear them. I have given them into your hand. Go forward, being confident of victory." A day like no other. Now, we know that it was a day like no other because God listened to the voice of a man. And a day like no other because of how the day was extended. I wonder what other people in other inhabited parts of the world thought. A man who is out working in the field, he comes home and he says to his wife, "Wow, I didn't think that day was ever going to end. It was like the sun was standing still in the midst of the day." And the wife probably says, "Ah, you're crazy." A day like no other. There have been days just like that, and there even continues to be now. In Eden, it was a day like no other when Adam and Eve took of that fruit and fell into sin. It was a day like no other when, on that first day, when Noah and his family entered the ark, and suddenly the heavens burst forth and rain came down and the depths were opened and the floodgates were unleashed. It was a day like no other when, after years of snubbing God and pushing Him away, the Babylonians marched into Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was taken, and it was the start of 70 years of captivity. The unthinkable happened in the Old Testament in 586 BC when Jerusalem fell under enemy hands. People said God would not allow it to happen, but they learned the lesson that God is more interested in His people walking with Him faithfully than He is in even a sacred piece of geography like Jerusalem. It was a day like no other when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and the angels sang, and it was a day like no other when Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of His disciples, and it was a day like no other, never to be repeated, when Jesus went to Calvary for you and for me. It was a day like no other when Jesus lifted off in the ascension and the promise given by the angels, "This same Jesus will so come in like manner," and we look forward to that day like no other when Christ will return. But friend, for you, this could be a day like no other. If you surrender your life to Christ, you will remember this day, July the 5th, 2015, 10 million years from now, in heaven's glories, you will remember that it was on this day that you committed your life to Christ, that you surrendered to Him. Why don't you make this also a day like no other? Here, Joshua, we would say, "Look, why didn't you make peace with more of these people?" Joshua was sending a strong message to us, and God instructing us that you don't make peace with sin. You don't compromise with sin. Here, these people had lived in sin. Joshua had been warned specifically, "Do not compromise, do not make peace with them." Joshua, we read that they had peace, verse 21. The people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. Why? It's because they had dealt with the sin question. Friend, have you dealt with the sin question? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? There'll be no peace if you try to dabble on this side and dabble on this side. Have a bit of heaven and have a bit of earth and hell as well. Have a bit of the joys of heaven and have a bit of the good things that earth tantalizingly has to offer. come to the Lord, surrender to Him, and know His peace today. Lord, we would come before You and say, all of me, not just some of me. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women here today who would say, come, Lord Jesus, to my heart. Come to forgive, to cleanse, to renew, to work that which only You can do. So, Lord, come, I pray, in Your great power. And may this indeed be a day like none other. A day remembered all through eternity. A day for which thanks is given. For surrender was made. Full and complete surrender. So let that be remembered of this day as well. O God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.